Hey, this is Jessica Ravelli, the founder of Working Women of Tampa Bay, and you're listening to the Working Women podcast hosted by St. Pete Catalyst. And in the studio today, we have our good friend, Christy Campbell, who's the franchise owner of Home Instead Senior Care, Tampa and Brandon.
Hello, Miss Jessica. It's so great to see you.
Yes. So how long have you been a franchise owner?
Oh, my goodness. I started the franchise in May of 2003.
Wow.
Yeah, 16 years.
Congratulations.
Isn't it amazing? Like, people that have known me are like, wait, what? You've done what for 16 years? Like, you've done one thing for 16 years?
I know, that's amazing. You've learned a lot since then, right?
Yeah, it's crazy.
And so let's start with what exactly do you do? And then we'll jump into some other questions about how things have changed in your industry, because I'm sure you've seen a lot of change.
I have seen a lot of changes. So Home Instead Senior Care focuses on assisted independence for a senior citizen most of the time. Sometimes we do other homebound, but senior citizens. So what that means is whatever level of independence that person has at wherever they call home, that could be their own home, their adult child's home, the hospital, like whatever's home. So if independence to you is, I just need someone driving me, okay. If independence to you is, I can't even get out of bed without someone helping me get up out of bed, that's that level of independence. So whatever that gamut, that's what we do.
How many employees do you have?
I currently have 130 employees.
Wow. Do you remember how many you started with?
I started with 5.
Wow. So yeah. 5 to 100 plus employees.
Yeah.
Are a lot of them women?
Yes. I have 4 men that are caregivers.
Okay.
And then I have my husband, so I guess I have to count him. It's a challenge because you've got personalities. So, right, we're dealing with crisis situations, stressful situations, at times sad situations. And so you've got employees that you're trying to nurture and give them the tools, let them still be their own person. But, you know, you have to train for common sense sometimes. Sometimes common sense isn't common. And things that are, well, I should be okay doing that. No, you know. So you really have to kind of hunker down and train a lot. And so it's interesting. I'm blessed that I have an office staff of 10. So we've got 130 caregivers. I have an office staff of 10. And they all have eyes and ears. And it's interesting because one person will catch up on one cue of something and the rest of us will miss that cue. And then another person picks up on a different cue.
Yeah.
And it just kind of intuition, common sense, emotional intelligence, all of it.
So I bet retaining employees is something that's really crucial to the overall
so
success,
hard.
Right?
It is so hard only because, you know, it's stressful. And we are in individual homes. And so you may go into one home that's a $1 million mansion, and you may go in another home that's a $300 a month Medicaid apartment. And you have the gamut. And that's a special type of confidence in a caregiver and a special type of, I can do this and I'm good, versus a CNA or a home health aide showing up at a building. You know where you work, you know where you're going, you know your people, like you have that set routine. And so it's a challenge. When I meet with families, I tell them I have great retention after 90 days. Because after 90 days, either they're in it to win it. Yeah. The first 90 days, they're like, what in the world did I get myself into? And I'm out of here. I'm going back to the facility. Because we're a different dynamic.
Yeah. So it's because with the changing environment means that they have to adapt, right, to whatever that environment is.
Correct. Because you're always their guest.
Yeah.
You walk in, you're always someone's guest in their home. As you're taking care of their personal hygiene, you're still their guest. And so you have different cultures, different ethnic backgrounds, different philosophies of life. And the caregiver has their own philosophy. And then the people that are in their home, it's quite a dynamic. It's very interesting to watch it ebb and flow.
And it sounds like it comes down to mutual respect, right? Respect, yes, of the caregiver to the patient or the client, and then vice versa.
Correct. It's all about the respect, and it's all about acknowledging. You're different, I'm different, but you know what? We click. And some of the people that have clicked, I would have bet my life that they would have never clicked. And I'll be darned if they didn't just find the one thread that they clicked together. Like, I had a gentleman that was a baseball coach in Brandon. And I thought for sure he was not going to click with this other gentleman that I had. And I found the thread that my caregiver was a retired cop from up north. And the clients, both of his sons are current police enforcement. And that thread, they were the best of buddies and they did phenomenal. So you just never know what that click is going to be. And it turned out to be great friendships.
Oh, that sounds great. It sounds like you know, you're able to really make a difference in a lot of these people's lives, not only through the company, but I know that you started, you know, a nonprofit that also gives back to seniors.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about the nonprofit.
So since 2006, we've done this little pet project I've called Be a Santa to a Senior. It's a national program through Home Instead Incorporated. And so I couldn't make that the name of the 501c3 because it's a national program. So I started a charity that I strictly run my Be a Santa program through. And we provide Christmas to seniors in low-income nursing homes or assisted living communities where they don't have any money at all. And one facility came to me and said, you know, we've had a bad year. Medicaid cut reimbursement. I've had to cut staff. I don't have a budget to even get food on the table, much less buy all my residents' gifts. Can you please buy my residents' gifts? Absolutely. Whatever you need. And I just made it work. So yeah, pretty blessed.
And so how many seniors do you think you're impacting on an annual basis through that program?
Last year we did 1,266. The year before we did around 1,100. Other years, I've only pulled off 300 to 400. It really ebbs and flows with the economy and the community's generosities, which is one of the reasons why I decided to be the non-for-profit. I'm hoping to tap into grants and tap into philanthropy groups to help me because the community's tougher nut to crack.
I want to know what kind of gifts did the seniors get?
A lot of them, you know, it's always the basics, blankets, socks, toiletries. Like that's the basics because those toiletries last them easily 6 months.
Wow.
Easily. A big bottle of shampoo, that will last them 6 months because they just don't bathe every day because they can't. Their skin's too brittle. One strikes me in my brain where the lady was bedbound and all she did was stare at the ceiling. So if you're in a corporate office and you have those tiles, everybody look up. You see those tiles? Can you imagine us staring at those every day of your life? And so they asked for mobiles or adult posters so that they could decorate and they would switch them out. So like if one was a beach theme, she'd have that for a week and then they'd go to a mountain theme and then they'd go back to it. And so she just wanted something to stare at, that kind of stuff. I get a lot of radios because they're bored. I get a lot of, you know, deck of cards, dominoes, you know, things that they're bored, mental stimulation. A lot of clothing, a lot of, you know, so-and-so just doesn't have any shorts. And so he needs 3 pairs of shorts. You know, Steph, you and I are like, 3 pairs of shorts. What, you don't have shorts? But it's amazing how quickly laundry disappears and things get lost and they get confused. And, you know, the whole, like the military, you put your name in the back of the thing.
Right.
Because you lose your clothing.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's heart-wrenching. It's touching. It's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
We're blessed. I'm lucky.
Well, and it sounds like you've had some good community support, you know, especially in the last couple of years to try to make those dollars go further or to raise enough dollars to be able to impact more seniors.
I have Shapes of Tampa Bay, Shapes of Riverview, Brandon, Temple Terrace, Wesley Chapel when they were up there, Carrollwood when they were there. The Shapes Workout Group has been phenomenal supporters since day one.
Wow.
And then I've had corporations come up and support me. Famous Tate has been in and out, but they've been pretty good over the years. Bell's Outlet has, you know, ponied up and let us put our trees in their stores. And then, of course, you know, you have always been my supporter. I've always been so thankful for you. And then Pilot Bank has really helped us a lot. So, you know, you got to love Rita Lohman. She's a phenomenal lady. And so I'm just thankful. You know, I'm crazy and a lot of people think that's funny. And I'm thankful for that instead of thinking the other. And people just understand my passion and they get it. And I've just been blessed.
And it sounds like that you got to a point in your business where you really wanted to pivot and to do more giving back. And I feel like we all get that. And, you know, we get to that success point in our business where we feel so blessed that it just feels natural to want to turn around and then give some back.
Mm-hmm.
And this is your vehicle in order to do that. And it makes so much sense given the mission of Home Instead.
Right. Because our industry is working with seniors. And the great thing is that everybody that's a recipient would never be a client. So, and the facilities are never a referral-based facility because they are literally the long-term, low income, and I will never see a client out of there. And so it's just kind of cool to be the behind-the-scenes Santa that just shows up with a gift bag and to see their faces light up when they pull out not just one item. It's a gift bag with 5 and 6 different items in there, and they just keep pulling, and the smiles and the positive effect is just
fun to watch. Wow. It really is.
And it's giving because you want to give, like you said, instead of expecting to get something in return.
Right.
That's really the best way to give, right? When it's from your heart, you're not expecting a return on this. It's because you want to make a difference. And
it's that old phrase, when much is given, much is received. And so my responsibility is I've been blessed and my job is to give back that blessings. You know, I don't have children. I've never been blessed with a child. So, okay, I've got 130 children, otherwise known as employees, because right. I get that phone call when they can't make that electric payment. Miss Christy, can I have $300 until payday? You know, and then I've got seniors that having a blanket and some toiletries to take a shower makes a difference. So why not?
Yeah. Like you said, I mean, especially for that patient who, you know, was bedbound and looking mm-hmm. at the ceiling tiles. I mean, we don't know the kind of impact that mm-hmm. something like a poster can have. And mm-hmm. it's hard to sometimes think outside of your own position and imagine what it's like to be in that person's shoes. But that little bit can go a long way.
Yeah.
So let's pivot to, you know, what you've learned as a not only a business owner, but going down the path of getting into a franchise is quite a commitment.
Oh, yeah.
And so why don't we start there? Tell me a little bit about the franchise experience, what it was like to get a franchise up and running, and how you feel like it's a little different from like a traditional mom and pop that somebody starts from scratch.
So a franchise has structure because they have a brand. And that structure and that brand, that turnkey, you pay your money, here you go, here's step one through 1,000, this is what you do. That is an awesome program in that you make less of the mistakes that you didn't know you didn't know, right? We still make them, don't get me wrong, but you have less avenues to go down and make the wrong decisions. What's a challenge is when mom and pop can come and go and do what they want as they please. And the franchise at times goes, oh, no, stay this narrow path. So right. with structure comes narrow paths. With mom and pops has a lot more.
Yeah, flexibility, right. opportunities. But like you said, when you were just starting, having that kind of turnkey.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, they set a path in front of you yes. that if you can just walk that path,
right.
there should be success at the end of it.
Correct.
And so any advice for somebody that's looking into purchasing a franchise? Were there any like particular things that like maybe the research that you did in the beginning that you felt like benefited you long term?
Yeah. So what I would say to that, it would be make sure your personal ethics matches the culture of the franchise. So my ethics matches Home Instead Inc.'s culture, but make sure you can work that and make sure you are good with that. If you don't agree with the culture, but you like the industry, then don't go with that franchise. Find another franchise. Do something else
right.
that has that same business line. Because literally, you're making a 10-year commitment plus a 2-year non-compete after that. So every franchise agreement, well, for us anyway, was a 10-year commitment. And then we have a 2-year non-compete afterwards. So once I finalize whatever 10-year block I end or whenever I choose to flip the business, I still have a 2-year non-compete, right. which means I'm nowhere near any senior industry for 2 years.
Yeah.
So just make sure you're okay with that. And right. if you're not, find a different culture that you're going to be able to absorb into.
Yeah. It sounds like education is one of the most important pieces about choosing whether the franchise model is the right thing for you. And the more research you can do on the company. And then, you know, you have to get lawyers involved, right?
I
mean, that is some lengthy paperwork. Right. And you got to know, like, if that there is a non-compete or, you know, maybe what are some of the, you know, consequences for if you don't follow the guidelines. Right. And so I think education combined with making sure that you have a great legal team
right.
looking over that franchise before you sign it
right.
is critical.
Absolutely. Because you're making all types of agreements on all kinds of levels. You know, once I identify myself as the Home Instead brand, I am that brand not only for my area, but I am that brand for wherever my adult children leaves and goes and moves to, or my client leaves and goes and moves to. So if I am not a great representative of the brand here in Tampa or Brandon, then when those people move to New York City or move to Dallas, Texas, they're going to say, oh, well, this brand sucks because that person sucked,
right.
you know, versus no, I'm a good representative of the brand. And then that just helps the network in general. So yeah.
Yes, that makes a whole lot of sense. So what do you know now that you wish you knew 3, 5, maybe even like 10 years ago. I mean, you've been in business for quite a while, so I'm sure you've gone through phases. What do you wish you could like go back and tell your former self?
It's okay to be human. I learned through the years. I've learned through menopause. I've learned through all the other stuff that I am human and it's okay to be human. Own that humanness. Apologize, correct it, change it, don't repeat it. So often as business owners, we're supposed to be the stoic book on a shelf and you're not allowed to be human. And it's okay to be human. You're going to screw up, own it and move past it and just forgive yourself, forgive the other person and ask the other person to forgive you and then move on. I think that's the first thing I've learned. The second thing is do what you know, be the master of one thing. Master of 20 things, you're going to fail at 15 of the 20. Get one right, master that, go to number two, master that. Be that person that mean what you say and say what you mean and learn to pause.
And learn to pause. Learn I to like pause. That. We should all just take a pause.
Learn to pause. Like I even do the circle. Like when I'm pausing, I just do the circle. And when my staff sees me doing the circle on my forehead, they're like, she's pausing. Everyone leave. Leave her alone. Let her pause. You know,
for those of you who can't see here in the studio, Christy is actually drawing a circle on her forehead.
Picture that computer pause. You know, you get that circle.
Oh, yes. Like that's the spinny wheel.
That's the spinning wheel I'm doing on my forehead.
Spinny wheel of frustration. That's what I usually call that. Those are fantastic advice. And it sounds like there's a little bit of accountability in there, right? I mean, if you are honest with yourself and you can, you know, really own up to the mistakes that you've made, knowing that you're human and mistakes are going to happen, there's that self-accountability there that will help you in the long run. Because if you do end up disappointing people, by owning up to that, they can learn to trust you again and you kind of almost wipe the slate clean. But so often people try to sweep mistakes under the rug and then it really breaks that trust for the future of that relationship.
Yes, it really does. And that just goes back to the credibility of the person. And I learned that at a Working Women of Tampa Bay conference, and I wish I remember who the speaker was, but I do remember that they said, you're human, own it, work it, and enjoy it.
And sometimes we just take ourselves too seriously, right? Yes. I mean, you know, like you said, you can't be that perfectly polished person that, you know, you're trying to create an air that you are error-free. Right. And I think a lot of women put that on themselves as it becomes a burden, right? That burden of perfection.
Right. Well, and you place it on yourself. And the word authentic is being used a lot in society right now, but it truly is. Be authentic. Be real. Be real one way or the other and just do what's right. And if you have a kind heart, even when you're screwing up, if you have a kind heart, people will pay attention to your heart.
And they'll forgive you. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like, you know, that's a great recipe for long-term success is to just do the right thing because it's the right thing to do.
Right.
If you can live by that and run your business that way, you will find that when errors are made, which are always going to happen in business, like you said, we're human, then you can get past that with a customer or an employee or, you know, a manager, whoever it is that that error has happened. So getting back to the industry that you're in, a lot of changes, you know, there's all these statistics about, you know, baby boomers and that, you know, there's a lot of aging going on in our society, which means that there's more need for companies like yours. Talk a little bit about the changes, maybe some misconceptions that seem to happen when, you know, especially when you introduce yourself and you say what you do. What are some of the misconceptions that kind of come up?
Well, some of the misconceptions is, well, Medicare pays for you, right? No, at least not until last year. So for 15 years of business, Medicare has never paid. Now Medicare is dabbling in paying, but it's not pretty and it's still not black or white. And so the answer is still no, they don't pay. So that's a misconception. And it's a sad because so many generations thought Medicare was always going to be our healthcare retirement plan. And that's changing rapidly. And so that is a misnomer. And so the financial planners are about to love me, but really you need to make sure you are financially planned for your retirement and you don't think Medicare is going to pay for everything because they're not and they don't. And there's deductibles even with Medicare and there's all kinds of craziness even with Medicare. And at the end of the day, Medicare is just another form of insurance company and just understanding you're dealing with insurance. So that's a misnomer. The other misnomer is my family friend down the road can take care of me and I can trust that person and rely on that person. No, you can't. They have a life. They're going to have ups and downs themselves. They're going to have their own health. They're going to have their own issues. They're going to have their own life. They're going to go on vacation. And then what? You're on your own. So relying on family, friends, church friends is not something that we recommend, only because if they were in a car accident tomorrow, is anyone going to know you're sitting in your bed waiting for them to show up? What's that communication? What's that backup plan? What are you doing? So there's the two misnomers. I can always have someone come by and I will always be paid for by Medicare.
Yeah.
No and no.
Yeah, it sounds like we all as responsible adults need to be creating a long-term care plan because like you said, even though Medicare and or you might even have supplemental insurance as you get older will cover some of the health issues you're having.
Right.
There are consequences of those health issues, like not being able to drive.
Sure.
Not being able to get out of bed, not being able to cook your own meals.
Absolutely.
And those are not necessarily seen as a medical issue. They're seen as a lifestyle issue. And so often in our culture, the attitude is, well, you need to be in an assisted living or you need to be in a nursing home. And at the end of the day, we don't want to. I mean, if you ask any person, and I would think most Americans, they would say, no, my long-term care solution is not an assisted living facility or a nursing home. We want to remain independent. We want to be able to stay in the homes that we have, you know, built and lived in, right? And have memories in.
Right.
And so if Medicare is not going to cover these challenges that we are facing by living independently in our homes, then we need to plan for that.
Be ready to plan. And I would say that, you know, you're looking at about $200 to $400 a day, depending upon how many hours you need. And as people are probably recognizing now, and, you know, it used to be you have an event, you go to the hospital, you're staying in the hospital for 3 weeks. Then you go to a rehab and you're in the rehab for 6 weeks. Now, if you're in the hospital 3 days, that's about normal. Then you're out on the third day. You may get a seventh day, maybe. And then you're in a rehab maybe for 2 weeks. If you hit 3 weeks, that's a long stay. So the insurance models and the types of levels of care, people are getting discharged to home sooner. And that is causing quite a spin tail because the families aren't ready. The clients aren't ready. Like everyone's like, wait, what do you mean? I have to go home already. Like, I don't know what, you know. And so that chaos can be overwhelming in addition to, you know, you're still trying to recover from your event, you know. And so just knowing what your plan is, think about your plan while you're healthy. Think about your plan, communicate to your family. Truly, it is, you know, knowing what your health diagnosis are and knowing what those diagnoses long-term is going to be. We know diabetics, if they are on insulin, if they're type 2, we know those diabetics are going to have a very extensive medical bill when they are older. If you're a diabetic when you're younger, you're going to have a very rough life when you're older. So if you know that, plan for that. Like put that money aside, just know what you're going to be up against. If you know you're a smoker now, everyone's warning you what your life is going to be like. Plan for it because don't be surprised. Because right. Everyone's like, oh, I didn't know I was going to. Well, you've been smoking for 60 years. What do you mean you didn't know? You know? So plan for your life decisions. Enjoy your life. I'm not saying don't do what you don't want to do, but plan for those choices.
Right. Just as we are planning for retirement, we need to plan for our long-term care. So you are an honoree for our Decade of Dynamic Women dinner that celebrates our 10th anniversary that we're having in September.
Which is so freaking cool. I have no idea what it means, but it's so freaking cool.
You know what it means. You've just been such a huge supporter of our organization since you've been a member, which is, gosh, do you remember how long it's been now? Like 7, 8 years?
Yeah.
I think that's about how long. And just this idea of women supporting women. I mean,
it's awesome.
It sounds like you have a lot of women that are your team members, yes. So that there's a culture of women supporting women within your company, but you are also supportive of women supporting women in business through Working Women and through other organizations and nonprofits. Why is that philosophy so important to you?
Because it helped me realize it's okay to celebrate your successes. I always apologize for my success.
Wow. Yeah, ladies, don't do that.
Yeah, right? I always have thought, you know, when someone says something to me about, oh my gosh, well, yeah, I'm blessed, I'm lucky, and I work my butt off, even though that's reality, it's also, I always have been ashamed or afraid or, so Working Women of Tampa Bay had a table at the Center for Women's conference where Susan Orman said, celebrate your successes. And that's where I learned that from. And I was like, heck yeah. And helping other women celebrate, you know, and it, some of the celebrations are the simplest of celebrations. And some of them is getting some big account and a project you've been working on for 10 years. We just need to celebrate each other instead of hiding in the corner or being ashamed or being apologetic.
Yeah, it's funny you bring that up because that's actually the topic for the conference this year is owning your spotlight. And, nice. You know, my background of 10 years of television and now, you know, 10 years of running Working Women in Tampa Bay, it's something I see all the time that women are just not willing to stand in the spotlight and be recognized, whether that's through podcasting like we're doing today or speaking on stage like at a conference or, you know, not being, this is what I remember all the time from TV is, you know, women would say, thank you for the opportunity, but I don't feel confident enough to get on television or to be on television, be interviewed on television.
Wow.
And so that's really what the conference is going to be about this year is encouraging women to celebrate their successes. Mm-hmm. Don't shy away from the spotlight. And if you are uncomfortable because you feel like it's quote unquote bragging or you've been taught to be humble, find women in your tribe who are willing to celebrate you and that you're willing to celebrate them. So if it's too uncomfortable for you to celebrate yourself or quote unquote toot your own horn, then you need to be surrounding yourself with a tribe that's going to do it for you.
Right.
And I really feel like it helps the gender if we all commit to that, right? Because there's all these articles and, you know, editorials, so to speak, about why there's not enough women being featured on, you know, different conferences, different panels. And it comes down to, well, if the woman is given that opportunity, they need to take it.
Right.
Not shy away from it. Yeah. So we are doing a disservice to our gender.
Right.
When we don't take every opportunity it is to be recognized for what we're doing to sure. change the world, to right. change the industry, you know, to care for all these amazing people like you care for. And so it's really an important point. We all need to get better at it.
Well, yeah, because you wonder how many panels of all men, how many times did women say no to those panels of all men? So we got stuck with the panels of all men.
Yep.
I am thankful that I am still learning that when I'm acknowledged, like Your Honor, being acknowledged, it still kind of baffles me because I still think I'm the chick in the back row. Just, I think I'm using the conferences to fill my own bucket. I don't realize I'm doing anything more than that because to me, going to those conferences is me filling my bucket because when you're taking care of 130 people, then, you know, caregivers, and then 150 clients a month, you give and give and get, and, you know, your bucket's drained. Like, I get tired of talking at the end of the day. Like, I'm like, I can't deal. I'm done. So I go to conference to fill my bucket up. So to be acknowledged as an influencer, I just thought I was sitting in the back row the whole time. You know, us Baptist back row people, I thought I was back there just kind of hiding. But I'm learning that in acknowledging the honor, I'm also bringing in my team because I am not who I am without the 10 people in the office that's running the business and without the 130 caregivers that's in the field taking care of my seniors. So I'm learning to honor them. As I'm honored, they get honored. And that's how that works.
That's beautiful. Well, we're going to leave it there.
Okay.
It's been so awesome to talk to you, Christy.
I'm always so blessed.
Yeah. This is Christy Campbell, and she is the franchise owner of Home & Said Senior Care Tampa Brandon. And we'll see you at the dinner.
Thank you for your friendship.